Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportists.
Hello and welcome to a podcast from the St. Louis Sportists. My name is Ron Cook and I'm joined by Joe Sperlin.
Hey, glad to be back after a rested week off. Load management.
Load management. That's very, you know, for you and LeBron, that's very important.
With the start of NBA, there's my reference to NBA, my only reference to NBA.
I can't wait until, I would love to try to explain that to my father, where he's still with us.
Yes.
April Thecting from deep in the heart of Texas. How are you?
Doing great. I'm going to have to renegotiate my contract, though. You guys are really cutting into my TV premiere week. I'm about to lose my spot, Law & Order University. Looking into the LSAT, really need to be there on the couch, but you guys are worth the sacrifice.
Well, don't worry, because we learned last week that tomorrow night is Law & Order Toronto.
Oh.
I just can't. Even I have my limits, which is very odd to say in here.
It was the same intro. It was just crazy. And also with us in the Thunderdome, Mr. Keith Farrell. How are you?
Cheers, cheers, cheers. What a weekend.
Indeed. In this edition, Mizzou can't hold back the Crimson Tide, and they finally have a road game?
What?
Miles traveled. Okay. The Chiefs bounce back. Are they officially dangerous again? Another rendition of the Red River Rivalry. Is it a potential rebirth for Arch Manning? And after an opening night clunker, the Blues are looking crisp in Canada. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. Jason and his team will take your project from design to completion with a family-first approach. Learn more at firstcoaststeel.com, and we'll hear more from them and Sandra Templeoff later in the show. By the way, Jason beat Keith in a fantasy football game last night by less than a point.
That's what you do for your sponsors.
Less than a point. And tonight's last call is brought to you by Black Dog Consulting, LLC. Dave Reinhardt is here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. You can contact Dave at 417-217-9622. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. We would like to encourage you, if you have not yet, to like our podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on X, Facebook, Blue Sky, and Instagram. By the way, we went over 1,800 followers last night.
Wow.
Thank you.
By telling two people. Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. It's the tell two people thing. It's kind of taken off since then. And we want to tell you about something fun that just sprang up today that we're going to have at the end of the month. Our good buddy Khaled Abdallah over on his fantastic 4040 Vision podcast just completed a really great look at what he called the Philadelphia sports icons, the top five. That's where it gets tricky. Five. Mm. And he said, we should do this for St. Louis. So, the end of the month, we are going to be having a podcast with Khaled where we are going to look at the top five all-time sports icons from St. Louis. If you think that's easy.
Exactly. You look at boxing, got some very good sports icons in St. Louis too. So yeah. Think outside the box when it comes to.
No, intended. You've got some good announcers. You've got some managers. You've got. Can you imagine? I'm sorry, Mr. Gibson, you didn't make the list.
Oh.
I wouldn't want to be you guys.
Don't tell him.
But that's where the fun comes in, April. We're going to put a post on Facebook. And folks, we want you to give us your top five. Help us out, because this is going to be a team effort when we go on the show with Khaled. We're going to crowdsource the Sportist Nation here and take your thoughts and see who are the top five sports icons of St. Louis. So watch for that post. And now it's time for Quick Hits, Joe Sperlin.
You know, we're probably going to talk about this later when we're the Penn State, but even though the college has not made this public announcement, they are going to Adidas, ending a 30-year relationship with Nike. 10 years, $300 million. And there's also a little side amount of $500,000 to the AD. That's not supposed to be his personal use. It's athletic department use for staff, athletes, and marketing. However, the trustees don't know about the trustees have made a comment about the lack of transparency regarding the contract.
What?
So there's also the rumors that Adidas gave the $50 million to end the contract of James Franklin.
I've heard that as well.
Of course. No one has confirmed that. Only denied it.
Nor will they ever.
You know, James Franklin just looked at his checking account and like, yep, it's there. He doesn't care who it's from.
So, the comments that I read was Adidas wanted a change with the $300 million. They thought they did not want to start that agreement and it be that bad of football. Tennessee also has moved back to Adidas after 10 years. So, huh.
So let me ask you this, Joe. I mean, is Adidas really a player in the football field?
Apparently, if they got $300 million to pay into that, they do.
I guess in the uniform, I just haven't seen really Adidas shoes. I haven't seen.
Well, and they also, you know, it's all the equipment and everything else. And the, I mean, then uniforms, but I guess they're not going to be any different than
Adidas football shoes. I mean, that right there will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Check out.
I think that's they're not going to be any different than any other booster that's going to give $300 million that they should have a say on what's going on.
I just think back to, you know, when you get pizza or something and your buddy, you know, you get the little announcement on your phone from Venmo, you have received $20. When James Franklin got the, you have received 48. Well, I know it's paid out in years, but still. That will be fun for him when he gets that first $8 million.
Well, we see him coach again after that. How long will he be out?
So, Spur and I were talking about this before we went on. Did you know that he has to, this is apparently like unemployment, he has to look for another job on TV. He has to like make an effort. I don't know if he has to send him like a LinkedIn stuff that he sends or whatever. He has to try to find a job on TV or coaching. And if he gets a job for less than that, Penn State is responsible for that amount up to $8 million. So he gets a $5 million job. Guess what? He still gets $3 million from Penn State.
I would have a lisp and a stutter if I was applying for a TV job.
I just get very nervous when the lights go on. Mr. Farrell, what do you have?
Kind of recapping our thoughts in the beginning of the NFL season and where we've been and what the hell happened to the Baltimore Ravens? My God, 1-5. They can't find a way to win. Their only win is against the 1-5 Cleveland Browns. Ever since that Derrick Henry fumble, they just cannot get it together. They have scored 13 points the last 2 weeks. And last week they lost took a loss against the Rams, scored 3 points. And this Rams team is not exactly the 86 Bears. What? So figure it out, boys. Figure it out.
Hey, Joe, do you know anyone that picked them to win the Super Bowl?
Nope. No one.
Yeah, I don't either.
Nope.
Maybe we should go take that podcast down or spur them to suddenly were our team to win the Super Bowl.
I was concussed during that moment.
Yes, yes.
That was prior to your load, your load balancing.
Exactly.
Load management.
Yes, that's it.
You were fatigued. Fatigued, as our old friend Toby Salee would say.
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Sechting, what do you have?
Well, that was a perfect segue, Keith, so thank you. Did somebody say recently that the NFL was in shambles? I don't know. I believe she did. So the Ravens, who would have thunk it, Kind of throw some of this back to you guys. Coaching hot seat. We talked about before the season started, we talked about our picks for like who gets fired first, what coach gets fired first. I don't think it's any shocker, according to one poll, any shocker that Mike McDaniel, for all your talent needs of the Dolphins, is the top of that list. And then Aaron Glenn from the Jets, Kevin Stefanski from the Browns, John Harbaugh from our fun Ravens that we just talked about, and Brian Daboll from the Giants. So who do you guys think is first out? Is it our friend Harbaugh who can't find a way to win with two of the greatest athletes in football?
It's who has the patience for all this, right? I was reviewing the standings today, and it's like, well, I mean, Tennessee's terrible. They're not, you know, it's kind of interesting because I looked at the last week when I picked my defense, I said, who's playing Tennessee? I picked the Raiders, who's another terrible team right now.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting. I really don't know who McDaniel's a disaster. He's got the talent, and what happened? I mean, it was a good team that he had, what, just a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's a conundrum. I'm just going to leave it under the cloud of shambles right now.
Well, who do you have on the
fire? Mine was in that same podcast we're going to delete. I had McDaniels as the first one getting fired.
Yeah. It's hard to go against him.
Yeah. And if they fired Aaron Glenn from the Jets, they'd actually probably be doing him a favor.
Yeah. Yeah. He does look like he's ready to be holding up a newspaper, you know, in a hostage video. Yeah.
The mercy firing does exist.
Yeah. I think the Ravens give Harbaugh the end of the year. Unless he has another opportunity he wants to pursue and they kind of come to a joint agreement. And I don't know. Is there some bad football right now? Speaking of bad football, the Cleveland Browns announced this morning, because I like to keep my eye on this sort of thing, that they are building a $2.4 billion field in the suburbs. Imagine that. They're getting out of Cleveland. Go figure. But here's what's fun. The existing owner, the Haslam Brothers, the Haslam Sports Group, is going to give $100 million to the city of Cleveland to destroy the current stadium. Yes, destroy the current stadium. And tell me if this sounds familiar. The new stadium is going to have a translucent roof, and it will be surrounded by restaurants, bars, shopping, and hotel.
Owned by?
The Haslam Group. Oh, and also the parking. Don't forget the parking, which was a big deal when the Cardinals were...
As if being billionaires was not enough.
Right. And here's the one thing that I like about it, because on my list of people I despise in the National Football League are Enos Stanley Kroenke and Jerah Jones. And so this is yet another Super Bowl site, meaning it will increase the rotation of Super Bowls. So there will be fewer in Los Angeles and Dallas. So that's the good thing. But you throw Denver in there. You got Minnesota in there now. Chicago, if they get that, you know. How long has Chicago been trying to do
this? Forever.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is supposed to start in 29 Cleveland. So if you're a fan of Browns Stadium, drink it in now while you can. Speaking of drinking.
December tickets should be pretty cheap this year. Maybe we road trip.
And that's when you get the snow. Remember that snow game a couple years ago that was some of the great sports photography of all time? Steelers, right? Steelers and Browns. That was amazing.
Amazing.
So I was going to say, speaking of drinking, the St. Louis Blues started their season on Thursday and gave us all something to drink about, losing 5-0 on opening night. The only time they've ever been shut out on opening night in team history. And guess who was there? Keith Farrell.
You know, I was at the game, and you don't get to see the intimate shots like you do if you're watching on TV. But the one takeaway that I had from being there was know, you're getting thumped and you're like, okay, who's going to bring the noise? Who's going to bring the energy? And no one brought the, nobody brought the energy. And that was very frustrating for me as a fan. I kept nudging my wife and saying, someone's coming out. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Tucker? Is it going to be Walker? Who's it going to be? And it was very vanilla. And I was a little upset about that. But first game jitters. And I heard an interview with Joey Vitale, the Blues commentator. And he goes, you know, there's a lot of good things that came from that game, but the bounces did not go right. And
puck luck. There was no puck luck for the Blues.
And so those games happen, and I'll accept that. But I will tell you, watching the last two games as intently as I have, holy smokes, man. I've never seen a team make a 180 like they've done.
Yes, in the last two games, Keith, they have kicked some Canadian arse out in Western Canada. And Jake Neighbors is scoring. Jimmy Snuggerud, Joe Sperlin. There he is.
Snugs.
I think you're going to need to get a Snuggerud sweater if he keeps this up.
Yes. Last year when he came up, you know, he just kind of felt like, you know, he already played a full season at Minnesota, University of Minnesota, that is. And, you know, he kind of hit the ice, kind of a step behind, getting used to the NHL pace of play. And boy, does he look like he fits in. I mean, he's playing on the top line.
And the power play.
And he's in the right spots. I mean, so that's a good hockey IQ and great chemistry. I'd like to see how much time he spent with the fellows outside the rink and on the rink itself in the off season, just to kind of develop that chemistry, because you can tell there's something special brewing there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just Keith, you and I have talked about this before. We were at a Oiler game and I said to Jamie, one shift, just watch Connor McDavid. Don't watch the puck. And she's like, oh, my God, he ends up exactly where the puck is going every time.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you the best player in the world. And, you know, I'm not saying that Snuggerud's going to be a McDavid, but still, if you have that kind of sense.
Yep, it's a sixth sense on the hockey, on that ice. And, you know, watching the game last evening against Vancouver, it looked like we were watching a playoff hockey game, team. Uh-huh. They had the fast pace, the high energy, the strong forecheck, a disciplined game. And boy, that's what you need to win.
So Suter gets the goal. The defensemen are...
Mayu.
Everyone's looking.
Mayu, this is his first full season, again, at the NHL level. You remember Chris Pronger when he got to the NHL. It took him...
April, do you remember Chris Pronger when he first got the NHL level?
Just keep punching four till somebody says hello.
April and I were at a game we were in some way, way better seats than we deserved. And Pronger had a rough game and it was near the end. And, you know, sometimes the organ music will stop and they'll get ready for the face off and it'll be quiet. And someone in the stands can say something that like echoes through the entire stadium. Do you remember that, Miss Acting?
What did you say, April?
Are you sure?
What did you
say? You were there.
What did you say, April?
This person, this random person says, hit him with your purse, Christine.
Oh.
That sounds very out of character for me, actually.
No.
It's on brand. Yes.
Well, just, I don't know. Memories get fuzzy after a while.
Well, I will say Chris Pronger was 19. When he came into the league, Mayu is 21 right now, I believe. Plays a little bit more mature. He was a rookie on the ice, but I saw him being a little bit more physical behind the play, being a little chippy. And if that's already developed in his game, be nasty out there, and he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Speaking of nasty. Joe Sperlin.
Yes.
The Alabama Crimson Tide rolled into Columbia with a little bit of an attitude and something to prove.
I can say for the first time in a long time, and the walls did not cave in. I was at the Mizzou game for the first time in a long time. And it was a good game. It was exciting. Mizzou had their chances, but I'll also say I think a lot of things that Mizzou is complaining about was because of Alabama. And Alabama made plays when they needed to, and Mizzou did not.
No, that's pretty simple. By the way, this is why you come to this podcast, because we had Keith on the scene for the first Blues game, and then we've got Sperling in Columbia for the biggest Mizzou game of the year so far.
According to the people of Mizzou, the biggest game ever.
Yeah.
And for Alabama, they were like, yeah, this isn't our biggest game of the month, but go ahead.
No. Well, and Joe, you've hit on something there, and this may turn into a rant, so I'm going to apologize before.
Go ahead.
But you know, one of the things that I've heard, I listened to a really good podcast called Locked on Mizzou, and the host was reading some comments, and someone said that personal foul penalty cost us the game. And I'm thinking, no, it didn't. The fake punt, I could list like 9 things that cost you the game for that. But then I thought back to last year, and believe it or not, there were people saying that when Texas A&M scored like 137 points on them, well, there was a call that cost us the game. Yeah. No. And then two years ago, when they played the Louisiana State University Fighting Tigers, there were people saying, well, we would have beat LSU, but the refs cost us the game. I'm like, no, Brady Cook throwing the ball to Major Burns and his number 8 cost you the game. Okay?
Also Mizzou, that they didn't run the ball enough. Well,
yeah.
There's a reason you probably didn't run the ball enough.
Yeah.
You know?
So I will conclude my rant by saying I have been following an SEC team since 1987. Guess what? Calls are going to go against you. In some cases, they're going to miss the calls. In some cases, you're not Alabama.
Hey, by the way, ask Auburn. How do those calls go?
I go back to a game around 2008 when Patrick Peterson intercepted a pass on the sideline, and they're like, the play will be reviewed. And Gary Danielson, who hates old people, dogs, and children, and LSU, said, Patrick Peterson did not get a foot down. He got 2 feet down. And sure enough, Patrick Peterson got 2 feet down. After review, the defender did not establish himself inbounds. Alabama, first down. And that was the moment that I decided I am not going to let SEC officials impact my happiness. My message to you, Mizzou fans, I love you. My wife is one. Keith is one. Do not blame officials. Joe Sperling, do you remember what Jimmy Johnson said to his Miami Hurricane team when they were going up to play at Notre Dame in the famous Catholics versus convicts thing?
Tell me.
Don't be in a position.
I was getting ready to say that. Hey, we always said this. We always said this in high school. Do not let that insurance agent have to make a decision about the game.
Well
and
said.
Kind of the same thing in college.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it totally is. And I conclude my rant by saying you are allowed to complain, Mizzou fans, if the referee gives the other team an extra down to score a touchdown at the end of the game.
Bingo. No one remembers that, Colorado.
What's
up? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Jamie fed me that line. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
I would just say, Mizzou fans, protect your peace. Do as Ron Cook advises, protect your peace.
Yeah. So now they go on the road, Keith.
Yeah, I think Mizzou has a chance to be a better football team this week, and I just can't believe that they're Auburn is favored to win. That shocks me. I'm going to put the mortgage on this.
The spread that we had from Bet ESPN that we'll get to in a bit is Mizzou 1.5. So apparently,
it is Mizzou 1.5.
Mizzou 1.5 right now.
To look this up.
I wonder if it'll be, Joe, will it be a pick'em by the time we get to Saturday?
No, I think people are waiting for Auburn to get cheated again.
That could be. Yeah. We talked about James Franklin, so let's get to Joe and Keith and April. You keep hearing John Gruden, who might be, you know, kind of like a pipe dream. You hear about Coach Mullen, who's gone out to UNLV and suddenly made them good. You believe that, April?
I do not.
UNLV, and for the record, good listeners, April covered a game at It was Missouri State University's first Division I win back in, was that 91?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 90, I think. Yeah.
You're right. It was 90. So you've got Coach Mullen, and then, of course, Coach Rule, who's suddenly sought after up at Nebraska. Imagine this, that the Nebraska people are, like, worried about losing their coach. Joe, if you had your choice, who do you think is, like, the dude?
Well, the dude right now is the dude at Indiana, just Googling. I mean, his name is all over the place. And anybody that's winning right now, that things are going good, you know, there's some form of connection. And I mean, even the James Franklin is like, hey, he would be a great fit at Arkansas. And I'm going, ugh, I don't know. There'll be more moves, more people. You know, I always like to say, you always hear about agents, their agents become, under a code name, unnamed sources. So people will use the names out there to get their client more money, an extended contract. So when they do get fired, they get $50 million.
It's time to start tracking the tail numbers of planes. Oh, gee, yes. That plane took off from Bloomington, Indiana, and went to College Station, Keith.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be some flight patterns going right over Interstate 80 out of Nebraska. And I think it's Matt Rule's job. I mean, alma mater, met his wife there. Did you hear the interviews that he's had already?
He's going out of his way to, he's doing non-denial denials that the Watergate people would be proud
of. Oh my God. I love Penn State. I met my wife at Penn State. I love Happy Valley.
Really happy in Nebraska though.
But you know, Nebraska's, I love raising my family here. Mm. No one likes raising their family in Nebraska. Well, maybe there's a handful of farmers out there, but listen, I think Matt Rule, it's his job. I mean, obviously, Cassidy out of Indiana, I mean, there's going to be so many teams vying for him. And I don't know what his pedigree, where he wants to go, but it's Rule's job.
There it is. In April, you know, there was a dude down at Texas named Sarkisian that a couple weeks ago people were like, hey, is he on the hot seat? And then comes the Red River rivalry.
Yep. That is true. So I don't know. I don't have anything to say about Rule on the previous subject. Gruden is a human Chucky doll. And I actually Googled that guy from Indiana, Joe, and Jared from Subway comes up. You heard it here first, last, and forever. So good times. Yes, I think Sark. I mean, I think he proved something this week. I think. Eli Manning. I think Arch Manning earned something this week. I don't agree with our Barstool sports friends, Mr. McAfee. I think it was College Game Day this week when he was, the hot question was, because college players are getting paid millions and millions of dollars, should they be coddled or should they be accountable? And it was some heckling incidents. I think I've shared my take. Yeah, they're getting paid, absolutely, but they're also still baby boys. And no offense, guys, your brains don't grow in until at least the age of 25. So, until there's an aggressive breath fire, I said at least, I edged it just a little bit. I think you have to still give them a break, and that's what I said about Arch. I think a couple weeks ago. Incredibly, unbelievably high expectations. How do you ever live up to that? I think it says a ton about his character and about Sark as a coach that they were able to go into an extremely high pressure game in Dallas with OU, who lives to beat them, and win as decisively as they did. Now, it took them a half, but they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was kind of one of those where I was wondering if you'd have the same energy around the Red River rivalry. And man, from the second that like you turn that game on, the crowd was fired up, the players were fired up. I mean, they were up.
It was everything you wanted. in that college football game, except for Oklahoma fans who wanted just a better game. I mean, what a dud! And I mean, I would be if I was an Oklahoma fan, I'd be thoroughly upset with the way that outcome of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you who is not upset, and that is fans of the Kansas City Chiefs. After all of a sudden, April, they found religion on a Sunday night against the Detroit Lions.
I mean, I am here to preach and ask for an amen, because yes, they got it. Yeah, it was, again, it kind of mirrored the Texas game. And that the first couple of possessions by Detroit, I thought it was going to be ugly. It looked like Detroit was just like firing at will. Goff was just like picking them off. And I was trying to hold myself together. I can't go to outside venues to watch cheap games. I have to watch them at my house. And then I like stress cook. So everyone around me is very happy. To do. Oh,
shoot, I didn't know that.
We'll be down. Yeah,
I know, right? Come to Austin for a game. It'll be worth your while.
We know where you live.
It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch as a fan. I think it played into the mayhem factor of the NFL right now, and I think that it's back up in the air. It is so freaky to be third in the AFC West. After dominating for so many years, it's freaky deaky. But this week gives me a little more optimism.
Hey, Blue Horseshoe, did you see that the Chiefs have jumped up to like number one or two now in terms of being Super Bowl favorites, and Mahomes is suddenly the MVP favorite again?
Oh yeah. I mean, just like the NFL script wants it. They don't like the Ravens and the Bills and the Chiefs and the Eagles. They like the mayhem, as you said, and it's just part of it. And then let's just see what happens. I mean, now it's like you've got the Buffalo and the Philadelphia collapse. What? Okay, so are we jumping on the Pittsburgh bandwagon? Are you jumping on with the Baker Mayfield?
Joe, please refer to it by its proper name, the Mud Hut Express.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I will not do that.
The first place 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, you know?
And so one of my favorite bits by the late, great John Facenda, the voice of NFL films, he said that, and hopes that were high in September can wilt and die in November. Very close to November, Keith. Who's kind of looking good here? We know it's not the Ravens. Whose stock is rising?
Oh, God. Is Denver good?
Well, let's see. They beat the Eagles, and then they hang on to beat the Jets. You tell me.
Okay. So that falls under the shambles category.
Well, Knicks is a wild card.
What about the Giants? Are the Giants good?
No, because their coach was on the firing list.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. I looked
just
at
like
this,
the NFL wants. This,
right? Exactly. Your team has a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Unless you're the Ravens.
Or the Jets. Is New England good?
New England is rising. I tell you, that Drake May can make some throws.
Yeah. Surprisingly good, I would say.
But who's in their division?
The Bills and no one else.
The Dolphins, Jets, and the Bills, yep. You know who's on the rise is Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. I picked Indianapolis' coach to be the first fire. That's another reason we're deleting that.
He might be the coach of the year.
He might be the coach of the year.
I mean, no one had them on their radar.
No, but they've got the leading rusher in the NFL. Their rookie tight end, who's on my fantasy team, is having an amazing year. And Daniel Jones has found the fountain of youth in April. What's Indianapolis? It's the something city. Do you know? I don't. I know it, but I can't think of it. It's something cool.
They have a Lucas Oil Stadium.
They got a racetrack.
Auto race, and they have a big velodrome, like cycling. I don't know why I know that. This is why I'm probably not as good as my job as I could be. because I know things like velodrome.
I think I saw something on that recently that it was like the best velodrome in the United States of America. I can't make
this up. How do we know these things? It's not right.
So since we've digressed to velodromes, I think we need a commercial break. We're going to hear from the good folks at First Coast Steel Buildings. When we come back, it's Blue Horseshoe's Corner, five college games. Five pro games. MLB playoffs are going on right now as we record this. And City gets ready to wrap up a disappointing campaign. All of this when we come back.
At First Coast Steel Buildings, we stand out by combining cutting-edge engineering with a family-first approach to customer service. Every building is custom designed, ensuring a perfect fit for your location and purpose, while our galvanized steel guarantees durability and resilience. Contact Jason and his team at 912-314-4848 or visit their website at firstcoaststeel.com. From fun to practical to industrial, First Coast will provide a custom solution to any building need. From fun projects like a backyard bar or she shed to an industrial storage unit for your business, First Coast has you covered. Visit their website at the number one, stcoaststeel.com or give them a call at 912-314-4848. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sports Podcast with Joe Sperling, April Sechting, Keith Farrell. I'm Ron Cook, and it's time for five college games, five pro games. We're going to Blue Horseshoe's Corner.
All right. Hey, and just like ESPN, we're going four SEC games this week. So, yes, it just means more.
It does.
There is a high-profile non-SEC game. No, it's not Utah and BYU. Sorry. It's USC at the Irish at South Bend. Irish minus 8.5. Let me get, before you make your decision, USC has lost six straight, and the Irish,
it's a trend,
are 9-2 against the spread against the Trojans. Ron, what do you think?
I think I was watching a game and I saw Reggie Bush run up against Matt Leinart, and that was, as far as I know, the first recorded tush push.
Exactly.
And so for that reason, I am going USC.
USC.
Wow.
Keith?
Fight on. I think that the Irish, who lost their first two games of the season, that was predicted by yours truly, really has some making up to do in those electronic type of standings. Where margin of victory is important, I say the Irish are going to run up a leprechaun score and win by at least 2.5 touchdowns.
That's a 20-point
win.
Wow.
That's a 20-point win.
Wow.
They need it.
April, what do you think?
I'm going USC because I like chaos.
Hey, there's more chaos coming as we get down here. I saved it for later. I think 8.5 is a lot, so I'm going to take USC in the points. Okay. All right, so let's go down to the SEC conference. Ole Miss at Georgia. And now they're starting to do like these NFL spreads, minus 7.5, not 7. 7.5, Keith.
I think kind of like the Irish, this is your only undefeated team in the SEC right now, and the Rebels at Ole Miss. I think that this is a statement game for them, and they are going to bring it. And I think they're going to demoralize the Bulldogs and make a bunch of sad Bulldog fans.
I'm going to go with Ole Miss because Kirby Smart is a weird little troll and I just can't.
I hope Kirby Smart was actually the clapping and not trying to talk him out that he didn't take a timeout. But Ron, what do you think?
I think the Ole Miss defense is bad, and they're going to be exposed. Georgia is going to blow away Ole Miss because Georgia is going to expose that Ole Miss defense.
Wow.
Ole Miss, their second time loading up on the bus and making a road trip, and they defeated at Kentucky by 7, and Georgia has won 6 straight at home against Ole Miss. I am going to go with Georgia also versus the spread.
So they went to the Mizzou School of Scheduling.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Tennessee at Alabama. Once again, Alabama minus 7.5, April.
I think the Tide is going to take out those Volunteers. Going mascots all the way here.
There you go, Ron.
Bama, home field advantage. And, you know, there's always a game every year where Tennessee, it's like, we thought you were better than that. I think this is the we thought you were better than that game.
I will say the same thing. I'm going to almost that exact same reasoning. Keith, what do you think?
I think Bama escaped Columbia with a win. And I don't see Tennessee playing undisciplined football. I see Tennessee taking this. They're going to win outright.
Ooh. Chaos.
Chaos indeed.
Tennessee was one of those at Ole Miss. Mississippi State won by 7. So, Ron, we'll go ahead and let you be first on this. Now, this is amazing to me. I think for the first time I saw since the 70s. Was that right?
That sounds right.
LSU at Vandy. Vandy is a home favorite of minus 2.5, Ron.
There's a saying among the kids that defense travels. And so LSU is taking their very good defense on the road. And when I say very good defense, the defense after 6 games has the fewest points allowed since 2007. What happened in 2000? Oh, national champions.
Oh, what it says.
That's what it says.
If it's on LSU, a cup, it's got to be true.
LSU wins by 10 or more.
Oh,
you better get yourself over to DraftKings.
I feel good about
this. Golly, they're going to score a lot then. Keith, what do you think?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think LSU wins outright, easy.
Go ahead, April. Say it.
I'm going to go for LSU. I'm choosing peace for once in my life.
I expected a not so fast, my friend.
You really wanted to.
Oh, that's not a pencil. Where is my pencil?
Here it comes.
Pretend this is a pencil. And I'm just going to say this. Chaos. The SEC chaos that I will explain on last call. I'm going with Vandy. Diego gets it done.
Could be.
Now, if I'm Vandy, I am furious this game is not at 7:30 at night. But as Marty Smith says on ESPN, Marty McGee, if you're going to drink all day, you got to start early.
Marty and Doug Lansdowne say that.
Yes. All right. Mizzou favored at Auburn. Mizzou minus 1.5 at Auburn. Keith, what do you think?
They're going to come out, play a disciplined style of football, which was something they did not do last weekend. They play a disciplined style of football. They run their game. I think this is a double-digit win.
Oh, my. Ron?
I think it is one of those games that will set football back 15 years. I see interceptions, fumbles, safeties, things where, pardon me, April, but dudes are explaining to their girlfriend what happened on that play and why are they looking at that? I don't. Well, and the guy himself is not quite sure because he's never seen that. It'll, you know, ugly football. Mizzou wins.
April?
Jane.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. Mizzou, it's called a road game at a very loud Auburn Stadium. Give me the Auburn Tigers.
Oh, I did want to get to say Jordan Hare.
I was about to say Jordan Hare. All right. Hey, it just means more. That's all we're going to say. Let's go to the NFL. Thursday night, since we're doing this early, the Mud Hut -5.5 at Cincinnati on Thursday night. April, we're going to start with you.
I'm going to go Cincinnati because chaos.
There we go.
Oh.
Ron, what do you think?
I think the combined age of these two starting quarterbacks are older than our most recent president, probably our current president, too, but not by much. I think the Mud Hut Express cannot be derailed, and I think Cincinnati is terrible.
I will say almost once again the exact same things. Keith?
Boy, I'm trying to find a way for Cincinnati to come alive, but they just haven't, without their leader behind snapping that ball. I just don't see, I'm trying to find a way for Cincinnati and I just can't. So it's Pittsburgh all the way.
You've talked about all the teams that have been winning primetime games, underdogs, but Cincinnati, they're bad, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
The first place, Indianapolis Colts at the L.A. Chargers, Ron. Chargers -1.5. What do you think?
I believe in Harbaugh. And I think Indy, you know, every team that comes up like this has a hiccup. You know, statistically, you've got your number one best game and then your worst game and everything in the middle. And I think Indy's due for a clunker. Chargers.
What do you think?
I think Indy has a knack for staying close in all these games. I can see this game coming down to a deciding field goal at the end. Give me Indy.
Indy, April?
I need the Colts to win, but if we go down the scenario that Keith just painted, Dicker the kicker, hard to beat that guy.
She's pretty good.
I am going to go that the Chargers still have a lot of injured people, so I'm going to go with Indy. And then for the NFL, as I like to say, this is a huge point spread. The Raiders at the Chiefs, -12.5. April, we know who you're going to go with, so I'll just go ahead and write Kansas City down.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any comments?
Taylor, who will be Taylor Swift's sweet mate? It was Caitlin Clark last game. Who will be this game? You want to make a prediction on that one?
No idea, but I do want to comment on the restraint of NBC because I think they only showed like twice. And there were no cutaways. I mean, it wasn't all the I would love to be involved in those just be a fly on the wall with those conversations on the pros and cons. Of all
that. Travis had, 6 catches for like 80 yards and got dropped on his head and they didn't show her in the stands going,
up on his head. That's where I was like, holy wow. I can't believe they didn't cut away to the.
Well, they didn't cut away because her and Caitlin Clark were talking and probably not watching the game.
Probably not. Yeah. Or they were drinking heavily.
Yeah.
Girls can never focus on sports. Go ahead. Keep going.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs just because of the Rice situation, and it'll be good times in Kansas City, and any chance they got to bury the Raiders, they'll do it. Ron, what do you think?
Raiders are dysfunctional. I can't believe April didn't take a shot at Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I can't punch down any further than that.
Keith, what do you think?
And we may have our episode title, yeah. Right?
Well, the Raiders are coming off a huge win against Tennessee. Clunker. I think Kansas City, Rice is coming back. They got a key player back in their offense, and they're going to exploit that.
Yeah, so they'll be excited after that game.
It could be 12.5 at halftime.
Yeah.
I am inclined to play Baby, You Can Drive My Car after every Rice reception.
Yes. Oh, okay. And I have to, we have to talk about this game here because I think, and I've got to double check this. No, they're not. But this is a big game. Washington -1.5 at Dallas. With Philadelphia dropping, this could be one of those for first place.
Wow.
Keith, what do you think? Washington -1.5 at Jerry's World.
I am picking with my heart, and that is I'm picking the Redskins over the Redskins. I understand this. The Redskins over the Cowboys.
It's okay. I called them the Guardians a few weeks ago.
Ron, which team are you going to call that you're going with the Guardians, you said?
No, last week. Yeah, the Guardians, right.
Uh-huh.
With their relief pitchers who will throw ball one. Anyway,
yeah.
The growing up in Southwest Missouri, Joe, you probably heard the line, "You look like a damn fool." I looked like a damn fool last week because I said that the Carolina-Dallas spread was one of the most stupid in handicapping history because the Cowboys were going to win the game by such a wide margin, and they lost. So being vindictive against Jarrah, Washington.
April?
What he said.
Okay. I'm going to go with the famous Monday Night Football. The travel missing days, give me Dallas.
Oh, uh-huh.
Speaking of Monday Night Football, a NFC championship game preview, Tampa Bay at Detroit, Monday Night Football, Detroit -5.5. As I like to say, Ron, at the Silver Dome. No, wait, Ford Field, the Silver Dome.
The Pontiac Silver Dome.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No less than Drew Brees said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in the NFC.
Hmm.
And that little guy knows more about football than I do. So I'm going to take Tampa.
April, you're shaking. You're nodding your head.
I love me some Baker Mayfield right now. It was funny. I kept calling Sunday's game the battle of the recycled quarterbacks with Mac Jones and the 49ers and Baker, you know, on the Buccaneers. But I think he is looking good. He's fired up. Everything's working. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers.
Keith?
Yeah. I mean, I used to live down in Tampa. I have a little bit of a special bond with Raymond James Stadium and the Bucs. So I'm going to go with the heart again on that one. So let's do it.
You know, Detroit may win, but the 5.5 plus 5.5, give me Tampa Bay. And folks, if you're wagering on the NFL, just set your money on fire. That's why this is for entertainment purposes only. And all you have to do is look at the last 2 weeks of the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, just trying to pick winners.
Yes, pick I was getting ready winners. To say.
Much less
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, there were 14 games. Just picking winners. I went an impressive 4-10.
I think I had three that week, Joe.
Yeah.
I think I got three games right. And actually, Joe raises an excellent point, folks, as our legal counsel has asked me to remind you. These games and these predictions are for recreational purposes only and should not be the basis for any wager that you or your friends might make. If you believe you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Things you can gamble on otherwise, Joe Sperlin, the Major League Baseball playoffs. They're underway right now in Milwaukee, and it's 4-1 Dodgers. Are we just headed for a West Coast World Series here with the Dodgers and the Mariners?
Hey, because you know why? Because Major League Baseball is sitting there going, my God, what if it's Toronto and Milwaukee?
We joked about that, in the middle of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody playing the Dodgers, the Bad News Bears playing the Dodgers, they don't care. Don't let it be Milwaukee.
So, Keith, now they get the Ohtani versus Cal Raleigh, the big dumper.
I put in my notes, who cares? it obviously Major League Baseball and their whole marketing staff is like, this is the worst case scenario to possibly have two West Coast teams. Great for the Dodgers, of course, because, but if that's going to happen, go Mariners. Let's get them their first trophy in the trophy case.
Yeah. And, speaking of things that we would care about, Mike Schilt out at San Diego, when he left St. Louis, there was a cloud of mystery. He tells the story, or actually Mozeliak told the story, that, Mozeliak called him on the phone and, Schilt said he thought they were calling about a contract extension, and Mozeliak's first words were, "Mike, this conversation is not going to go the way you think it will." And he was no longer the manager of the Cardinals at the end of that conversation.
And that was after he had just won Coach of the Year.
Yes, yes. So he has 2 years at San Diego where he wins 90 games. He's the first manager in Padre history to win 90 games in consecutive years, and he retires. Now, he has said that he was burnt out and stressed out, and he said that he had received death threats from gamblers. That was kind of a new twist today. Another thing that came out was that AJ Preller, the general manager of the Padres, has been there 11 years, and the Padres have had 5 managers. Now, April, in corporate America, if you see something like that, 5 managers in 11 years, not exactly stability.
Now, I probably worked for them in the 90s or early aughts. Not good. Very not good.
Oh, no. So anyway, Mike Schilt says he's taking some time to focus on his mental health. And, you know, mental health, this is an awful side, but I got to do it. You can't go crazy. Except 40 years ago today, Keith Farrell.
Buck.
We all went crazy.
Yeah.
Jack Buck said he thought it was the worst call of his life, and he turned to the producer, Colin Jarrett, and said, "Why did I say that?" Ozzie Smith, hang on, right there. Ozzie Smith, that picture was taken 40 years ago today. Homers against Tom Niedenfuhr, his first left-handed career home run. Came at a great time. The city went nuts. For Cardinal fans, that's like a, "Where were you?"
I was just getting off the school bus. I just gotten home, turned the channel, and watched the whole inning. Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting, Joe Sperling, you remember my dad's office.
Yes.
We were all sitting in there watching that moment. And then not that many years later, the Cubs, of all people, were in the playoffs, and a gentleman listening to the game with glasses and a Cubs hat and some earphones was going for a foul ball, Keith.
Yeah, Steve Bartman had no idea when he walked into that stadium that day that his life would change forever.
Forever.
They had a 30 by 30 series on him.
Joe, did you see the 30 for 30 on that?
I saw one of the better 30 for 30s. It might be my top 5 30 for 30s.
Yeah, and the whoever came up with the name for it, Catching Hell, was brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So, Steve Bartman, if you're listening to this podcast, as Keith likes to say, cheers. And finally, Keith, this Saturday night, we will toast the final St. Louis City game of the season. And it is not an insignificant game to our opponent, Real Salt Lake. Not real, Real. Because they need a win to make the playoffs, or they need a draw to make the playoffs. If they don't, they, as they say in the playoffs, need help. So they need to win this game.
Well, St. Louis will bring it. You look at their last couple of games, they've been playing as a unit. They've figured out how to score. Seemed like they've developed a little chemistry. More than anything, there's an aura around that team that hasn't been there that whole year. And it's just the continuity. And once you have, you know, the coach, you got a little bit of a same voice out of the coaching staff. You got the same voice coming on your back line. And, you know, Klaus, I don't think, let me rephrase that. He plays better when he's not the man.
Yeah.
and he sets up everyone around him. And there's enough skill and talent on that team and enough people that can put the ball in the back of the net. So it's going to be an interesting way to reevaluate this team at the end of the year. There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of changes, on field changes, I believe. I would like to see the coaching staff stay.
That was my next question, because Chris Lee, a lot of people are speculating about his future, and then also Hackworth. They're talking about him for sporting director, which I think a lot of City fans would be okay with.
I think so. You know, he's brought in some late season talent. Lutz was obviously a
disaster.
Yes, he was known for his global, you know, reach and what have you. Hackworth, I mean, obviously he's not going to get there without having some those connections. But I think it's going to be just let this team play for a couple of years. You can't be switching out all these moving parts and expect to have that continuity and chemistry develop on the field. The worst thing that could ever happen to this team, and I'll go with this, and I'll end with this, and that is the expectations were set so high after season one. And, you know, had we made the playoffs in season three, Carnell would still have a job. I think we'd be a little bit better going into this season. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at Carnell, what he's doing right now in Philadelphia.
Coach of the year.
Coach
of the year. For sure.
It's
the guy we fired, coach of the year.
Yeah.
We will see Saturday night, final soccer match at Energizer Park until February. Talk about a short offseason.
Take it.
Yeah. And with that, we have reached the last call, brought to you by Black Dog Consulting. Black Dog is here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner grow and prosper. Dave has 37 years of experience and over 4 million plus miles with flatbed, steep deck, over-dimensional dry vans, and refrigerated units. He has experience with dispatch, brokerage, back office, and he grew his last fleet from one truck to five with yearly gross revenue of $3.7 million. If this is the growth you are looking for, contact Dave at 417-217-9622 or oldblackdog0523@gmail.com. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. Joe Sperlin, what do you have for a last call?
You know, April said this to Chaos. College football is in week eight. And when you sit here and say, all right, we picked five games and four of them were SEC. Well, ACC, did you want to say Louisville, Miami? That's probably the biggest game. The Big Ten North, as I like to call it, Washington, Michigan, and then the Big 12 South, Utah and BYU, both ranked, but there will be chaos when these SEC people start knocking each other off. And then let me just say this on this scenario. Indiana and Ohio State go undefeated, play each other. So does a one-loss Oregon team, which, by the way, none of those three play a ranked team for the rest of the way, does the one-loss Oregon team get over a 9-3 SEC team? Because ask Ohio State, if you don't make the championship conference games, not a bad thing. And I can't wait for the chaos when people rest their players in the conference championship game because they say, win or lose, we're in anyway.
Yeah, and it looks like a preseason NFL game.
Yeah, chaos on the horizon.
It's no different in week 17, you know, where teams rest their players for the playoffs.
Yeah, we're coming up on a situation where you can name like the top five teams, and then you can name like nine teams and say, "Oh, guess what? X number are not going to make it," and you're like, "Really?"
Well, I mean, a perfect example, look at South Carolina. Isn't their next five games against top 10 teams?
Yeah.
Currently. Now, some of them might get beat, but okay, you're going to argue, how's that compare to a two-loss Michigan team, maybe? Anyways, April, chaos. It's coming.
Yes. You asked for it, April. You got it.
I am an agent of...
Yes, Farrell.
So I'm going to go back to a little bit of the Chiefs and just a singular observation that I had with Patrick Mahomes. He is a run threat on every play.
It's their leading rusher.
Their leading rusher. And the Chiefs are going to go as far as Patrick Mahomes will take him. He's going to go with the huddle. And like Peyton Manning used to yell Omaha, Patrick Mahomes is going to call a play called Hair on Fire. And what he's going to do is going to take the snap. He's going to look at one receiver. He's going to feel the pressure. He's going to scramble. He's going to fake a pass to get a defender to jump in the air. He's going to feel a little tickle on his arse from someone chasing him down. And then he's going to complete a 25-yard pass to a receiver we've never even heard of on the Kansas City roster. And that's Patrick Mahomes.
He better learn how to start sliding.
Yeah, and he needs to start sliding because it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So
he's their best running back.
That's my when Patrick Mahomes yells "Hair on Fire," expect that sequence to happen.
Well, I just want to say that that's one of the most descriptive visuals in the history of this podcast, Keith. You painted a picture. You painted quite a picture.
Thank you.
I am deeply disturbed.
I really like the thought of the receiver, April, that we've never heard of before.
Yeah, me too. That's in play.
And he'll have a single digit number. He'll be like, everyone will be like, who's number 7 or 8 or whatever. It'll be, you know, Butker.
Joe's Gary Abbott. A former punter out of the University of Pittsburgh.
Never heard of Gary Abbott, and he has an 84-yard touchdown. Joe, do you know the back? I can't think of the backup for the Chiefs since they got rid of Carson Wentz.
Crazy
Minshew the third.
Yeah, Minshew. I couldn't believe it either. Because in preseason, I go, oh, my God.
The mustache.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I love me some mullet. Man, I am in for it.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, April, can you save us from Keith and his picture with his painting with words?
There's no tickles in my story.
You heard that?
I'm going to go. I can't unhear it, man. Never. The rest of my life. I'm going to go in a very unexpected direction and give a shout out to Bo Nix, of all people, who I am deathly afraid of. I think that kid has a lot of great things ahead of him in the NFL. And I'm just sort of not cool with him being in the AFC West, but here we are. But that guy is doing really great stuff in Denver. He's involved in several charitable efforts on a variety of fronts, homelessness, puppies, who doesn't love puppies, an animal rescue center. He's spent millions of dollars on some ranch land, cancer payment, patients reportedly paying hospital bills for 50 cancer patients in Denver, and Children's Miracle Network. Now, I don't agree with everything. I mean, beginning and ending with the jersey he's wearing and some other stuff, but good for that guy using his platform for good, using his money for good. I think that's an admirable, high character thing to do, and way to go, Bennett.
Hey, for that is admirable and high character, and this is a sports thing that I'm going to just kind of verbalize that probably a lot of us have done, but don't you kind of hate it when someone on the other team's a good person? You're like, it's much easier to dislike you if I don't know that you're
I want to hate him. Gosh darn it, he's such a good guy. Look at all the great things. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we run a case net on him just in case? Okay. So April, I am going to like you. I'm going to end it on a very, very high note. There's a guy named Stu Sternberg, and he owned the Tampa Bay Rays for years and years and years and just sold them. And, you know, he frustrated the fans, he frustrated Major League Baseball, but everyone that worked for him loved him. they thought, you know, they're like, this guy's great to work for. So he sells the team. And granted, he, you know, got $1.7 billion for the team, but he did something that you don't often hear about in this situation. He gave cash bonuses to every full-time member of the organization, which was more than 500 people. And you're like, okay, a bonus, whatever. They were tenure-based, and according to people, long-standing people, like if you'd been there a long time, the bonuses were like equal to a year's salary. The smallest bonuses were believed to be in the $25,000 to $50,000 range. So I don't know who among us wouldn't mind showing up one day and just saying, hey, for all your hard work, you know, minimum $25,000. Not bad. Not bad. So typically when you hear of owners, you know, it's like, why don't you spend money on a play, you know, but I thought this was a kind of a cool story. So good for Tampa, good for those people there. And thank you for listening to this episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. We appreciate you very much for putting up with us and our paintings, our vivid paintings with words.
Picasso-like.
Joe Sperlin, thank you, sir.
Good to be back this week.
Yes, the load management did you well.
Yes.
April Suchting.
Always a pleasure.
Mr. Farrell.
Love to offend.
And again, thank you all for listening. We will see you next week for another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. And until then, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.